just got a Facebook message from an old teacher saying that he heard me telling him to watch his bags when he was at the airport in Seattle.
I was hoping that I would hear you when I was at the airport, but I heard Duff McKagan. He told me something.
Oh, good. I'm glad Duff McKagan was there.
So yeah.
Yeah.
To tell you.
Yeah, I think he was probably, like, in a back room on the mic, just, doing it live.
Obviously.
Yeah.
That's how it works, right?
That's how it works, yeah.
I've never...
do shifts.
Yeah.
I've never heard, like, a station ID of myself on a station.
Really?
But I've heard a station ID... I've heard station IDs I recorded, like, 10 years ago, driving back through, like, the place where I went to school, mm-hmm. and I've heard, like, and their auto DJ system still has those station IDs
that's
in it,
really
so that's
funny.
Really...
It that, should be noted that Andrew and I went to school together.
Right? Yeah. You guys go to school?
Whitman College.
In Walla Walla.
Where is
it? It's in, like, Eastern Washington.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm not too familiar with Washington.
That's fine.
That makes sense, yeah.
Very much rooted in Colorado.
Yeah, I don't know why you would be.
Uh-huh. Cool. So I guess the first thing is, I just wanted to ask y'all about your band name, kind of where it came from, inspiration behind it.
You know, you're 19 and you name your band and you don't really get a second chance.
Yeah. that's a good answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We were 23 or whatever, but...
Well, I think it was somewhere between 20 and 22, but I don't really know where that number is.
Yeah, it's a flexible mythology.
Would you guys change your band name if you could?
I don't know what band... I don't know any good band names, so... All the good band names are taken.
I doubt that. There's probably a few good ones left out there.
Every time you hear a new band name that you're like, wow, I can't believe that wasn't taken. You're like, wow. Just... It can still be done? It seems like they're all taken.
That's true. That makes sense.
A lot of times they... I will say also, a lot of times I think they are taken, but like you Google them and it's... spelled ever so slightly different.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So then, Claire, I read that you grew up listening to a lot of like pop punk and alt rock. Is that right?
I'd say it's accurate, yes.
Okay. So who are some of those artists that you listen to? Do they still inspire you today?
Yeah, they were definitely an inspiration on this album. Jimmy World was a really important one. For this,
they're gonna be in Colorado soon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We'll stick around.
In Fort Collins, which is interesting.
Yeah, they're active again, and I think people are gravitating to that music again, and I think that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Looking back on that music was definitely like part of the inspiration for this album.
Yeah.
That's what you're good.
And then for y'all, mm-hmm. Kind of a similar question. Just like, what did you guys grow up listening to?
Bare Naked Ladies, mostly. And Cake.
Okay.
Like the Fashion Nugget by Cake. Or like.
Did you ever watch Chuck, the like TV show? Because
maybe. Okay. I don't know.
I just, every time I hear Cake, they're like, that show, the theme song... Chuck was a Cake song. Anyways.
Gotcha. Whenever I think about Cake, I think about a tape my sister had and the first song, Frank Sinatra from Fashion Nugget, and being like, this is tight, fedoras are tight.
Oof.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Just, and then like, you know, then you get older and you're like, no, puka shell necklaces and open Hawaiian shirts, that's tight.
that's the
book. Yeah, whenever I hear Cake, I think of... Because, like, Italian Mother Sofa was the theme to that show Mission Hill.
Mm. They've gotten a lot of synths. Damn, Cake's gotten a lot of synths.
Yeah, I mean, those were popular... And I remember there was an episode of Daria that had The Distance really prominently in it.
Distance is a killer song. I remember being on vacation somewhere, and I had tickets to see Cake. This was... I think I was in middle school. And they played a Cake song, and I was super excited. And the radio announcer said, "And that's Cake! Put them on the Where Are They Now list."
Still touring.
Still touring, yeah.
Yeah, growing up, I don't know. I grew up in Idaho, so until I was like 13, I listened mostly to like the alternative station that existed. And then one day it became like not even AAA, but like adult, like the format that was like too soft for what I wanted to listen to at that point in my life. So I just kind of stopped listening to it and hanging out on the internet with people who mostly were into like obscure Japanese bands and harsh noise. So I did that for like 3 years because it made me unrelatable and harder to be around, which I think was kind of my MO in high school. More to my detriment than my benefit. And then I had a really good friend who kind of was the only other person who was doing it, who introduced me to a lot of things that I still listen to and enjoy now.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like 3 steps ahead of me on like the like dude gets into indie rock canon, which always begins with like, oh, I just got into the Velvet Underground, and then all of your friends in high school being like, oh, you like Velvet Revolver? And you go, no. That's the main thing I remember about high school. And I remember that like my senior year everybody got really into Saddle Creek bands and suddenly that was cool. But that took a really, yeah, really long time to hit Idaho, trust me on this.
We had a day in 10th grade history class where the teacher was like, how does it feel to have Conor Oberst be your generation's Bob Dylan? And I remember thinking, fucking awesome.
Have y'all ever seen Conor Oberst live?
I saw Better Oblivion.
I did too.
Yeah.
I saw him at Meow Wolf.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it was...
Can't wait to go there someday.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that place was, it was cool. But yeah, he's very, very talented. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. He's not even 40.
He's not.
We went to his bar, right?
Oh, yeah, we did go
to Sharner's. Yeah, that was a really cool bar.
I didn't know he had a bar.
Oh, he definitely has a bar.
I feel like he has more than one bar, if you consider, like, Slowdowns and, what is the other spot?
Yeah, Paige Sharner's. Probably got, like, a couple bars on his cell phone, depending on what carrier he uses and what area he's in.
That's a good point.
And then, what music are you guys listening to now? You've kind of both all, like, hit on it a little bit, but I was curious, like, who are some artists you're listening to or anything at the moment?
Let's see.
What have I been listening to?
We've just listened to the new Charlie XCX on our 1 hour long commute from just outside of Denver into Denver, and that was great.
I like that new Proper record a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I feel like there's been a lot of stuff, but I've been very, I'm just, like, kind of always playing catch-up now. Like, there's just too much new music coming out, and
there's
it's very
been
hard to...
There's a lot
to...
this year, too.
Yeah.
It's like, a crazy amount.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the new White Reaper to come out. I like the singles. I like that new Oso Oso record.
That one was so good.
Yeah.
Gen Champion?
I've never heard of... What's Gen Champion?
It's really catchy and driving synth pop.
Okay.
Did you ever listen to, like, Carissa's Weird?
No. Oh, wait. Yes.
Yeah, so it's... So Jen she was in Carissa's Weird, and then her project used to be Ass, and now it's just Gen Champion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she used to make, like... very, like, slow, sad indie music, and now does kind of the, like, not the opposite of that. It's, like, the same feelings in a new backdrop.
It's, okay, like, Chromatics adjacent. It's really
okay.
Wonderful.
Okay, that's really cool. I'm going to check that out.
Sure.
That's
very cool.
She's also one of the best bowlers I've ever seen. That has nothing to do with this. That's just, like,
oh, no, that has nothing to do with it.
That's just a boast. One time I went bowling with Gen Champion.
And you got destroyed. Did you get demolished?
No. High tide raises all boats. I bowled my best game I've ever bowled.
What was it?
But yeah, I got demolished.
Okay.
I was like 170.
That's holy shit.
Jen and Stacey Peck. Stacey Peck, who's one of the great Seattle musicians as well. They both were like above 230 for 3 games.
Oh my gosh.
Did they give you some pointers? Is that how you...
they just gave me confidence.
Like,
yeah, that Stacey...
Just this year, don't...
Yeah.
Don't mess this up.
Yeah.
It was just like the, the key to bowling. I'm no expert, certainly. Can't give pointers, but I think perhaps it's relaxation. Just
keep that arm loose.
Being loose. Just
yeah.
Like you say.
I still have to bowl with the bumpers on. I'm... tragically awful at bowling.
Hey, just have a good time.
Yeah.
Do you think? Feel no embarrassment about bumpers.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's more fun that way.
That's true. Yeah, if I just embrace the bumpers, Yeah. It'd be better.
Develop your style around it. Get a zigzag going.
To see the craziest pattern I can make.
Yeah.
The bowling ball. Cool. And then, so you guys are signed to Hardly Art.
Yeah.
Correct, which is super cool. Kind of, how did that go down, and what was it like when you found out?
I feel like, well, a bunch of our friends were on the label already, and they kept coming to shows, even though there was, like, 9 people at all of them, and they were all extremely weird. And I think, like, as the shows got weirder and more nihilistic, they were more and more into the idea of it. And then one day they said, they took us all out to dinner and said, hey, we think we should do this. And we said, okay, let's do it. And we were really excited to that we wouldn't have to, like, answer all of the emails or quite as many of the emails anymore. And we wouldn't have to, like, be responsible for all the really, really hard work that goes into putting a record out into the world. Which you can do it yourself, and it's really cool. And I have a lot of admiration for people who are really good at doing it themselves, but it is a full-time job. It requires, you have to be so good at juggling so many moving parts, and it is insanely stressful, and it's a really, really awesome, admirable thing to do, and if you can do it, more power to you. But also, having a really cool group of people and a community to support you is also a really wonderful thing.
Yeah. Do y'all have anything else to say, or?
I've really enjoyed and value, like, being on a local, what is for us a local label, so
mm-hmm.
just being able to, like, see and access the people that you work with immediately, face to face. You can, like, go into the office when you need to pick something up and
mm-hmm.
say hi.
Yeah.
It's a nice time.
Yeah. Their office is really cool. I got to visit
oh, cool.
once. And it was like, I was like starstruck the whole time.
Uh-huh.
I was like,
I still feel that way.
Yeah. I'm like, uh-huh. still can't, like, still, I'm always like, where's the bathroom? So,
yeah.
Like, it's a bit of a maze.
Yeah, it's a weird configuration in there. It's
my favorite,
you know?
Is picking up records from the warehouse and being like, hello, Mr. Arm. This is Mark Arm from the Mud Honey.
I always ask for an escort when I have to go to, like, the art department. I, like, need an escort all the way there. I have no idea where the art is. I'm just pop into random office.
Seattle's most
like,
fun.
Hello? Are there? Is this the right place?
Seattle's most fun maze that's not an escape room.
And then, let me see. Okay, so I was really wondering, where did the cake come from on the Falling album cover? You?
Yes.
Yeah, did you decorate it?
No.
Okay.
It came from me going to, having a very clear vision of what I wanted, and then going to 5 different QFCs and Safeways to find just the right cake. I could have ordered it the next day and been like, I want these colors, but I thought, no, I'm just going to go to all 5.
Did you guys smash it yourself?
I dropped it. I took the photo. And the idea was obviously, like, I want the cover to be, like, a fallen cake, like, something beautiful and delicious that has fallen and is maybe, it's a little bit ruined.
Yeah.
And when I dropped it from, like, a few feet up, because I was like, I don't want it to, like, splatter.
Yeah.
But what I found is that those cakes, they're mostly chemicals, and they're made too sturdy, so I had to break it apart by hand and, like, arrange it artfully, and then I tried some different icings, and it got just the perfect amount of messed up through the process. So,
that's
yeah.
amazing. I love
so,
that.
And then the cake was, like, in my fridge, and I ate it for, like,
you ate it after you
3
dropped
weeks
it?
After. Yeah, well, it was all, like,
okay, I guess it was
on
the little, like, tray thing.
Yeah.
But
I picked it back up.
Did it taste
yeah,
good?
Yeah, don't
at all?
Judge me.
Oh, yes, it was delicious.
I ate it
for 3
weeks.
What flavor was it?
It's just like plain.
Cheesecake.
Plain. Yeah, cheesecake.
The greatest flavor of all. Cheesecake.
It was white flavor. Yeah. I don't know if you can call it vanilla. It's just white flavor.
Just
flour flavor.
Yeah. Sugar flour flavor.
Yeah.
Did you say cheesecake the best flavor of cake?
Sheet cake.
Oh, sheet cake. I was like,
but yeah, dude, cheesecake for sure the best flavor.
Also, a thing that would be really wild to keep in your fridge for 3 weeks and just, like, watch it in action.
What is your guys' favorite actual flavor of cake or kind of cake?
Oh, man.
I think I'm a pies person.
You're pie. I agree. I'm not a big cake person.
I would never turn down cake, but if I'm...
there's pie next to it.
If I'm choosing my own dessert, it's probably a pie.
Then what's your favorite pie?
Pecan.
Pecan. Okay. That is my favorite pie also. Yeah.
But I'm not sure I like pecan pie more than cake, but...
then what's your favorite
cake?
Maybe
I do. You know, I'm more about the decoration than...
okay. more of an aesthetics
so.
Person than a flavor person.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing about cakes, is the way they look. But they happen to taste good too, so that's, I mean, just like yellow cake with any kind of icing is pretty much fine by me.
Cool. What about you?
This makes me think about a lot of things. It makes me think about the fact that pie generally has no... like, fruit pie especially has no structural integrity.
I don't want jam in my cake, though, I will say that.
Okay. I'm trying to think of, like, what my favorite cake... like, there are certain things that I am really fond of. I love, like... I don't eat it ever, but key lime pie is something I like a lot. I remember making a key lime cheesecake once and getting my knuckles in the grater and then having, like... having the lime juice just like going into an oak, like just stinging
integrated knuckles.
Yeah, integrated knuckles.
Is that a new Sonic level?
Yeah, it's like one of those things that if you Google it, like probably produces more like really weird fan art. Have you seen any of those before? Like there's like a whole black hole of like Sonic the Hedgehog memes.
Oh my god, oh, I saw a bumper sticker the other day.
Oh no.
And it was like a messed up Sonic, and then it was like, but in the car itself was like a Sonic something, and it was really funny, and then it was like, gotta go fast.
Oh yeah, Sonic, yeah. That's in Steven Universe, too.
Yeah.
But there's a thing where somebody discovered that if you do a Google image search for Knuckles, you don't get... like the thing on the
you don't
hand.
Get anatomy.
You get Knuckles, the character from Sonic. And then somebody discovered if you search Knuckles human, you don't get Knuckles on a human body. You get anthropomorphic Knuckles fan art.
That's terrifying.
True facts.
I want to look it up, but also I'm terrified now.
Yeah.
See it?
Yeah. If Safe Search is on, you're not gonna like set yourself up for her.
I'll do it on like private, so that
private browsing,
so that the government doesn't know.
People don't see that you're googling human knuckles.
Knuckles,
human
but
human.
But I mean, you know, let me just say, keep your heart open.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You never know.
Yeah. I mean.
One day you see something and suddenly your heart is racing and there's no shame in it.
Yeah. God, what is the one... oh, God. I can't remember what the, like... I was thinking about just, like, what people's gateways are to discovering that they have fetishes and how, like, Sonic was a big one for people, like, learning they were furries.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. I could see that.
Or, like, did you watch King of the Hill?
Yeah.
Like, the Peggy's Feet episode was, like, what made a lot of kids realize they had foot fetishes, I think. I think that's
makes sense.
That was huge for...
yeah. Huge for an extraordinarily specific subset of the population.
even just not having a foot fetish, I think, just, like, seeing a cartoon TV show. So publicly, oh, that's a fit. Okay.
Yeah.
It helps you be sensitive to all the people around you, to say, like, oh, there are
like,
wildly different
interests.
I'm just
interests. Opening, yeah. just opening the gate, yeah, just opening the window.
Discovering all these
opening
things.
The hinged door.
This is not a plug for
opening,
the app at Hinge, is it?
I don't know.
It might be, who knows?
Cool. And then, changing gears from that, if you guys could tell a story behind any of the songs on Falling, what song would it be? And can you tell me that story? It could be any story.
If I could tell you the story behind one of these songs, but I can't.
Yeah, I was going to say, I really want to tell you about
if
it.
If I could tell you, it would be this one, but I won't tell you the story.
I mean, there's a story that you told last time we were talking about, like, we were talking about I'm the One for You. I think about that a lot. And also, like, that story, a story about, like,
Well, I'll say the my alternate title in my head for I'm the One for You is Confessions of a Chill Girl. And it's... So, yeah, that song's kind of about... the outward trying to be so cool in, like, I feel like modern dating of, like, that everyone wants to, is trying to like keep their options open, and you're trying to not get too attached to anything. But then the other side underneath, maybe you're just like, but I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe we gotta just go for it. Maybe I'm crazy about you, and we should just do it.
Yeah. Cool. No, that's good. I like it. Yeah. And then so the holidays are gonna be here. Sooner than we all think. And y'all made a holiday album, which I must say I loved, and it's on my holiday playlist.
Oh, good.
So, going off of that, what is your guys' least favorite gift you've ever received for the holidays?
Ooh. Wow.
Interesting. No one's ever asked.
That's a great question. I can think of the worst gift I ever gave.
And what was that?
When I was 16 and I was really mean to everybody for no reason, I entered a package into a high school gift exchange that just said home recycling starter kit, and it just contained 6 empty soda cans and a dollar and a note that said I'm sorry, and the person who opened it and cried.
Oh my god.
That was probably the most unnecessarily malevolent gift I've ever given somebody, I think. But I'm going to come back to you with the answer to your question.
Okay.
One time, a relative of mine was... They had this, like, really sus person they were with. And that person gave me The Secret. Oh. And I think I still have it somewhere, but it's still in the cellophane. It was a very unwanted gift.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I can't think of one for me, but it reminds me that of my friend. I can't remember if it was that she got 2 of these at the same time, or I think it was maybe she got one year and then the same gift the second year, or like one for her birthday and one for Christmas. But her aunt got her those popcorn shirts that like expand. But this was like a couple years ago. This was not in like 2000 or whenever.
I didn't know those were still popular.
This was
nowadays
for a grown woman.
I just got one of those at the Benz that I'm really excited about.
But would you? Well, actually, you might buy it for your niece because she might think it's fun.
No, that's a good idea.
What was this object?
This was for a grown woman recently. So
my mom always
popcorn shirts. They're like this dimpled fabric, and they're like the size of a doll's shirt, but they expand to fit you.
They're a slightly terrifying concept.
Yeah, and they were like popular for a minute.
Yeah, they were.
Whoa.
I think they're great. I don't know what you guys
you can buy them. Yeah, we saw them on tour.
Yeah.
And I have a picture of Peter holding one up. Yeah.
Because I had just gotten one at the Bins. Yeah. My mom.
All coming together.
My mom is one of the most wonderful people in the world. But, she knows that I love Cheez-Its, and then comes back from Costco, and she's like, Peter, I got you a bunch of Cheetos. Are you excited? I'm like, yeah, I do enjoy Cheetos, but they are not what I texted you. Be like, hey, is it all right if you get some Cheez-Its for me at Costco? And she's like, you got it, and then comes back with a different cheese snack, but it's still, yeah, a Costco amount of a different cheese snack I'm less excited, but I still enjoy.
What would happen if they... Do you remember... I mean, I guess these are still a product, but you know, they're like...
Cheese nips?
No, like the 5-gallon, like...
Cheese balls?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would just make me feel like I'm in Chicago.
Okay.
Like at a bar in Chicago or something.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a
Oh, yeah, good
a great
point.
Bar.
Good point.
It would make me feel
always,
like
I
the fluorescent lights
were on.
I associate
them with, like, Staples, though. It's like an office snack.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they're that snack is popular, like...
When you're getting more toner for your printer, you're like, I might as well get the cheese balls.
Well, yeah, because, like, you want to have the ink stains on one hand and the cheese stains on the other, so that way, like, you can deliver all your papers in black and orange.
That's right.
Just tiger papers.
Yeah, go Tigers.
Yeah. Candy corn colors.
What's your favorite flavor of Cheez-Its?
Extra toasty.
Okay. I've never had the extra toasty. I was always a fan of the white cheddar. Or just the original. I keep like the family size box for myself in my car.
Yeah.
Tight.
You're doing it right. I had so much white cheddar as a young person that I find it very difficult to motivate myself to get more white cheddar as an adult.
They're really addicting in the worst way possible.
Are all Cheez-Its like whole grain now, or is that like a special kind of Cheez-It that they're trying to push on us?
I go through them too quickly to read the whole box before I'm done, so
I'm
not sure.
The ones that I ate on a plane recently, I was like, this tastes a little different.
They could have been the reduced fat ones.
And they said they were made with whole grain.
Huh.
That sounds good.
What conglomerate owns Sunshine Foods that makes Cheez-Its? Do you know?
This sounds like a question for our phones.
Okay. Because I was trying to think about, like, does that company also make Wheat Thins? Because Wheat Thins are weird. It took me a long time to realize just how much sugar was in a Wheat Thin.
There's a lot of sugar in Wheat Thins?
They are so sugary. They are so sweet.
They're so sweet.
I wasn't aware of this until this very moment, good thing I don't consume a lot of them.
Yeah.
Everything has sugar in it.
Yeah. Sugar's fine.
Sugar's a dope thing.
Yeah, I try to keep snacks out of the house because they're dangerous, and I will demolish all of them.
Sunshine Biscuits is owned by was purchased by Keebler in 1996 and subsequently purchased by Kellogg in 2000.
Ah, drag.
Everything makes sense.
Yeah.
I love that it's called the Sunshine Biscuit Company. I didn't know that until now. The biscuit is omitted from the logo.
Do you think Sunshine Biscuit was another product they made, and then Cheez-It turned out to be, like, the dark horse that, like...
Wow.
Took the
biscuit. That's beautiful.
Poor Sunshine Biscuit?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, do you have an answer to the question about...
the worst gift I've ever been given? I feel like there have been various times in my life when I've been gifted, very, like, nicely made English fruitcake, and I have never been in a place in my life where that was a thing I wanted to eat or was in any... That's, like, a really hard sell for me as a dessert item. Like, I don't understand fruitcake, and I don't think I enjoy it.
Makes sense.
I would say, yeah, fruitcake would be pretty high up there. And I guess, yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, did anybody ever give me, like, an amazing... Oh, actually, so a friend of mine, after he got kicked out of our high school because he discovered how to... So everybody I went to high school with discovered that you could make all of your absences disappear and change any of your grades by logging into the database that powered the back end of our high school with the username admin and the password admin. And...
That's some real movie shit right there.
Yeah. And so we figured this all out when I was a freshman and most of my friends were sophomores, and they did this for 3.5 years before anybody got caught.
Oh my gosh.
And everybody got 1 day suspension except my friend who discovered it. And he was told to go finish high school somewhere else.
Oh no.
And this was in his last trimester. So he had to go... So he just, like, left and he went to Peru for a month. And when he came back... He gave me a preserved llama fetus.
Oh.
Which, what I was told was that you want to, like, bury... If you're going to build a house, you bury it before you lay the foundation for good luck.
Okay.
But he gave me the llama fetus, which he smuggled back from Peru.
Oh, okay. Just to give to you.
Yeah. And I don't know where it is. My guess is that my parents did something with it, because I definitely left it at my parents' house, and I definitely have not seen it in a decade.
Oh, no.
And I think my dog was really interested in that.
I'd assume so, yeah.
Yeah. But that's also, like, a pretty interesting gift, so that's, like, not even the worst... That's not even a bad gift, really.
No, it's interesting enough to not be, like, awful.
Yeah.
But it's still just, like, why...
Well, if I was going to build a house, like, I think that would have been really good, but he didn't take into consideration the fact that I didn't have any property to build on, and I still don't. That's what makes it a bad gift.
Yeah, he didn't think ahead.
Yeah.
When he was smuggling it.
He didn't even think about the future of subprime mortgages and big shorts that awaited us all.
Yeah, it was two years too soon.
Cool. And then... So you guys... Went on tour with Alex Leahy.
Yeah.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure she's really cool.
Unbelievably cool.
So is there any weird things that you guys found out about Australians on that tour? Or just things about Australians that you didn't
I've
know
always
about?
Been really scared of Australia because it's like 90% of the world's poisonous organisms live in only in Australia. And they all reassured me that those all live on like the north coast and nobody lives on the north coast. So it's like you go to Australia, you're not going where all the dangerous stuff is. Did more research, but it's not exactly true. There's still like 26-foot saltwater crocodiles or like huge great white sharks, or even a great white shark that they think eats other great white sharks.
Oh.
There was like a tagged one that got it.
And we just watched the Meg this morning.
Yeah, so Australia has freaking megalodons. And
I think the most important things that we learned from them were just a few
slangs.
Australian
phrases,
slang.
That think people are legends.
Legends.
Yeah. Legends. And huge if true.
Huge if true. Heaps.
Oh, yeah.
Heaps. They everything is like, oh, yeah, we had... It was just like heaps of fun.
Heaps. Yeah. Mostly you learn that, like... Yeah. Touring Australians are all mostly, like, really fucking nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very and,
fun and friendly people.
Yeah. And they live in a country where people still like rock music, which is an interesting and strange development.
Yeah. There's a lot of Australian rock bands, which is... really, really cool, but, you wouldn't expect that, I guess.
Yeah, it's, like, the last country where people are, like, really stoked about rock bands.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only, like, 6 cities, I guess, you have to really, like, tour in Australia to, like, get big in Australia, from what it sounds like. Having never been there and having never become successful in Australia, everything I might have just said might be a total fucking lie, but that's the impression that I've gotten from talking to Australians about, like, how they, like, make their plans to take over the world.
I wouldn't doubt it if Australians, like, slyly took over the world.
Oh, yeah, I mean, they started with the avocado toast, and they're on their way.
Yeah.
We're listening to a sci-fi trilogy in the car, and spoiler alert, there's some big stuff that happens with Australia.
Okay. Three-body problem.
Oh.
That's the name of the first book. The name of the trilogy is called Remembrance of Humanity's Past.
Okay.
It's great!
I'm gonna have to listen to it, then. Have any of y'all ever dealt with any form of, like, performance anxiety?
Oh, yeah, every time.
Yeah? And what advice would you give to, like, any artist, or how have you dealt with that, I guess?
Channel it into your performance. No one's not nervous. That's like a big myth. Everybody suffers imposter syndrome, and... broadcast it. If that's what's ruling your heart right then, broadcast it. No one's going to hold it against you. Be real.
Do y'all have anything to say about that? Or is that sufficient enough?
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Okay. Cool.
I have the most performance anxiety about interviews, I'd say.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. well, there's only 2 more questions, so you're in luck.
Okay.
And then I guess going off of that, if you could give any advice to aspiring musicians, what would it be?
Get really fucking good at the thing that you want to do. Like, be able to play really well. Be able to, like, be really fucking nice to everybody, because everybody who's not particularly nice, like, everybody talks, everybody shares notes. And, like, get really, really, really good at telling your story. Learn how to build a mailing list, which is something that, like, I'm not good at. We're not great at building a mailing list, but, like, if you're at the mercy of social media and social networks, you could one day arbitrarily lose any and all of that when they decide that they want you to either pay money for it or they just decide that what you do doesn't really, like, suit their business model. Encourage people to buy music, because Spotify is a tech company, not a music company. Support community radio, support college radio, support non-commercial radio, because y'all actually give a fuck and bring passion to what you do, and once you get, and there are a lot of people who feel very, like, not that way once the further you get. And
work hard and be nice. I like that. Yeah.
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 I think do whatever it is that you want, whatever it is that you want to do, do it, like, figure out how to do it for yourself, because there's just no guarantees. So if you're not, like, if you're not enjoying it yourself, if you're not doing it for yourself, then there's just no point.
Yeah, that's really interesting, especially because it's almost like there's a guarantee in the opposite direction. It's almost a guarantee that you're going to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. But if you can make it on your terms, if you can make your terms of success something that's personal, I totally agree with that.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. Well, thanks, y'all.
Of course.
I have one last question. It's a question I ask everybody when I do interviews. It's a very difficult question. But if you were a noodle, what kind of noodle would you be, and why?
Oh man, I would be a lasagna noodle so I could blanket everything.
Makes sense.
It's the hardest question of all.
I know, I said it was really difficult. I forewarned you.
Tagliatelle.
What?
Tagliatelle, I think. Is that the one? It's like the wide Italian pasta noodle.
Yeah,
Andrew, is
that
correct?
Sounds right.
Yeah.
That sounds right. Yeah, I don't know the names of my pasta shapes off the top of my head, but that sounds...
Why would you be that one?
I don't have, like, an intellectual reason. I just know that's the case.
That's just your soul pasta.
Yeah.
Pasta
yeah.
and long ribbons.
That's the one for me.
Yeah.
That's the one I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So it's like the... Tagliatelle is like the... It's like the one that looks like a bird's nest, kind of.
Yeah, because it's... It's got chronic illness and it's bisexual. Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand.
What does like pappardelle look like?
That's what I was thinking of actually.
Oh,
pappardelle. Not Tagliatelle.
You just wanted to say Tagliatelle.
It was in Seattle there was a movie theater called The Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like my neighborhood movie theater, and there is like a you're watching a movie at the Bay film that they play beforehand, and Tony Taglioni is one of the characters, and so I always...
Oh, okay.
Pepperdell
is
the one I was thinking of.
Okay. And have you come up with your noodle?
I think maybe I'm a bow tie.
Okay. Why would you be a bow tie?
Because I'm... There's not a good reason.
It's a classic noodle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone likes it.
Everyone likes it.
Yeah, it's really... everyone likes Claire. She's a classic noodle.
Holding it all together in the middle and crimpy on the side.
What is this one?
Are you just looking up noodles now?
Yeah, limache, the snail-shaped ones.
Oh.
Or there's a guitar... String pasta too.
Yeah,
I really like the ones
I have no idea what they're called,
but where it's kind of like, it's sort of like a curved. It's like a half moon. It's like an open tube, and then it has ridges on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
What's that one called?
It's not a real pasta.
It's hard to find, and it's delicious because it holds so much sauce. Maybe on that one.
Yeah, is that a? I imagine they probably make
well,
it.
Well, you know, everyone sees their friends more clearly than they see themselves. So.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, like the Maltagliati?
Is that what it is?
Oh,
this is a really cool.
Yes, yes.
This is a really cool looking one, though.
Yeah, it just is like a free form. I don't even know what shape that is.
Yeah.
Free form.
We're on Il Corvo's.
Yeah. So.
Instagram,
did you...
of course.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's
okay,
a spot in Seattle.
I'm the hamburger noodle.
Next
I'm the SpongeBob macaroni.
Okay.
Oh, Cresti di Gallo is another really wild looking one. So it's a spot in Seattle. They do three pastas every day, and they're really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
If you are there on a weekday for lunch ever, I would highly recommend it.
I'll have to, what was it called?
Il Corvo.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least none of us really branched off into like I don't know, like a gluten-free, like a black bean penne or something like that.
I wouldn't go with the
or
black...
a rice noodle.
Yeah. I mean, I love like squid ink noodles. I love like the
corn
brininess
pasta.
Of them.
An egg noodle.
These are all egg
spaghetti.
Noodles, Prabo. Or like an all egg noodle? Do you mean?
Yeah, I mean like.
Orzo.
Orzo.
There's a good one.
Oh yeah, this is like. Yeah, this is like.
I can name a lot of noodles.
Yeah.
That's so fancy.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well.
Please don't out us as being bougie.
It's okay, I won't.
No, it's fine then. We
yeah.
said it, you know, we're trying to be ourselves here.
Oh, these Fiore yeah, these are all. Yeah, I could really cruise on this. I could really cruise on this all night.
Okay. We could do another interview about pasta.
Yeah.
Just about pasta.
Yeah.
But we should do it outside so that Bleach can use their dressing room.
Yeah,
okay.
Are we talking is this an episode of Talking Pasta?